This is Talking Business. I'm joined now by Dr. Noel Duncan, the founder and managing director of Sisu Wellness. G'day, Noel.
Hi, Alan. Good to be here.
What does Sisu stand for? It's S-I-S-U.
Correct, yes. It's a Finnish word, and what it means
it's actually a word, is it? Looks like an acronym.
No, it's actually a word. It actually means resilience and toughness. And in Finland, if you say to someone that you have sisu, it's one of the highest compliments that you can give the individual. So I was on a bit of a holiday in 2012, thinking about the next iteration of my life, and, sort of got to understand the meaning of sisu. And with health and behaviour change, I thought it resonated really well.
So tell us what it is.
Sisu Wellness.
Yeah.
So we manufacture mobile health stations or physical health stations for people to be able to do a free health check in a public facility or in a corporate, and then we build the software off the back of the stations.
What is the health station? What are you manufacturing?
So it's a health station which allows an individual to do their height and weight to give them the BMI. It also allows the individual to do their blood pressure. Their resting heart rate. We give them a Framingham heart age. They can also do a diabetes risk assessment, and in some instances also a stroke risk assessment. And it's all cloud-based, so that individual then gets to track and monitor all of those basic biometrics as often as they like, every time they come back and use one of our free health stations, which are situated around Australia, the UK, Ireland, and we've just moved into Germany.
And who do you sell them to?
So we have two main channels. One is a retail channel. So here in Australia, organisations such as Priceline Pharmacy have 205 health stations throughout Australia. Organisations such as HCF, a not-for-profit health insurance organisation. And the other channel we work strongly in is corporates, because, of course, corporates want to be able to look after the health and wellbeing of their staff. And this is a really scalable and efficient way for them to be able to look after their staff. So we have partnerships with organisations such as AMP, Commonwealth Bank. Gemin is one of our fantastic clients here in Australia.
Right. So I was just looking on the website, and of course what you've got mainly promoting there is coaching.
True. So what we aim to do is allow the individual to measure their health through the physical health stations, track their health through the platform, and then improve. And the coaching aspect is the improve aspect. So we have our own coaching programs on the platform. In the UK, we also do telephone health coaching. But here in Australia, what we like to do is to partner with other organisations as well and triage the individual based off their biometrics to a behaviour change program which is suitable for them. So we have partnerships with the Stroke Foundation, with Diabetes Australia, with QUIT. So if I'm a smoker, I'll be encouraged to go and speak to QUIT and get involved in one of their programs as well. So we're trying to be really specific and personalised with the coaching programs that we're identifying an individual should be going into.
So are you mainly a supplier of programs to these other organisations, or are you a supplier of these things to the public directly?
To both. So we supply to the public directly through our retail channels, and also hospitals is another really good place for an individual to be able to go and do a free health check, or directly to the corporate, and then the corporate supplies that, gives that to their staff to be able to use.
Is your revenue mainly from selling or manufacturing health stations, or from the coaching?
From leasing the health stations. Yeah, and we have the coaching as a support mechanism off the back of the health station. So our main revenue stream comes off the back of leasing the health stations,
right,
to either a retail partner or to a corporate partner. And then what we're able to do is to capture that data. Coincidentally, yesterday we just ticked over our 2 millionth health check here in Australia. So we have a lot of data. And what we're able to do is with our corporate partners is provide what we call global benchmarking, which allows a corporate organisation to benchmark their staff against other corporates, whether it be in the motoring industry or whether it be in the finance industry or the insurance industry. And it allows that organisation then to identify at-risk areas, and then they can appropriately spend their money within that risk category.
The corporate partners I get, but who are the retail partners?
Priceline Pharmacy here in Australia.
Oh, retailers.
Yeah. Right. So you walk into a Priceline Pharmacy here in Australia, you'll be able to go and do a free health check on the physical health station. And then from that, you can go back as often as you like. So I guess in the olden days, you would measure your height and weight, at home on the old scales and go in the laundry door and mark it across, the laundry door. And, I encourage my children to use the health station, and, they've got their own membership, and we're able to track their heights, and we're able to track their weights, and track their
blood pressure. The data you talk about is attached to a name.
correct. It's attached to the individual. And right. the individual and owns got all that, data. We have.
Yeah. What about the privacy of it?
Well, the individual owns all of the data. We're just the custodian of that data. And so we're what's called GDPR compliant, of course, because we're working across Europe. We've decided to ensure that, you know, we've taken that high benchmark in Australia as well, which means that, you know, the data is of extreme importance to us. So everything is encrypted. Everything is protected. The individual owns their own data. And what we're able to do is to de-identify it and aggregate it and then report it back to our partner organisations in a de-identified and aggregated manner, but no personal information is ever, accessible.
Because this really is personal information, isn't it?
Absolutely, of the highest, I mean, of the highest the order. Of the highest order.
The GDPR, by the way, so everyone, in case that you don't know, is General Data Protection Regulations, which were introduced in Europe but haven't yet come to Australia.
Correct.
When are they going to come to Australia?
I'm not sure they will. I think we tend to sort of follow the US, don't we? And I'm not sure that the US will sort of take them up. But look, what we want to be able to do is to ensure that the people who are using, you know, our product can trust us and can trust that we will look after their data. And, you know, we want to be able to ensure that we build a pattern of usage whereby people can come in and use the free health station three or four times a year, measure, track and monitor their own well-being. Being to be able to look after their health. And then when, you know, we identify a potential risk, we can then help support them move into an area of behaviour change.
Why did you start it in London? Was that because you just happened to be there or what?
I was living there. So I moved to the UK in 2006 with a previous business. That we had. It was called Fitness to Live, a business that we started with two mates from university here in Melbourne in 2001. We grew that business. We had to expand that overseas. I moved to the UK with my family in 2006 and we sold that business in 2009 and I worked there for another 3 years. And then, sort of when I left that business in 2012, sort of started to think about the next iteration and what it looked like and spent kind of a couple of years trying to work through that.
Yeah, so how can I put this? The problem that you've decided that was still there,
yep.
that hadn't been solved with your previous business. What do you think? What did you identify as being what was needed?
One of the things that I observed in the US was what are called health kiosks. We call them health stations, but they're very popular in the US. And I observed the way that males were interacting with the kiosks and the health stations, and getting males involved in health preventative health programs has historically been quite tricky. But we did identify that males were using this health station. So I did a fair amount of research, and I guess our intention at the start was to try to, you know, partner with one of those US companies and just build the software off the back end. But that didn't quite work out, so we had to build the health stations ourselves. But one of the things that we do identify is that you know, people aren't being judged by a machine. They're not being judged by the station. And so identified that, you know, to get accurate data was really, really important. And we've identified that self-reported data when it comes to biometrics is not as accurate as it could potentially should be.
Probably.
And so we
no, it's
really
probably rubbish.
Need, yeah, well, it is. It is. So we really need accurate data, and the machines provide us with accurate data. And so identified that, you know, we needed accurate data to be able to ensure that we could support population health management and deliver a preventative health program at scale.
So what do you charge for them?
So the individual doesn't pay anything. So the individual gets to use the service for free. But then we lease the stations to our partners for, you know, invariably, you know, $1,500 per month. And then we will then also triage all those individuals off to programs that the individual might have to pay for. But we don't. External program.
Your client, the organisation,
yep.
It's worthwhile for them because they're getting store traffic or they're looking after their employees.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Look, store traffic is obviously really important, and especially with, the advent of, the way pharmacy is changing in particular, and, you know, the possibilities of individuals being able to get e-prescriptions and so on and so forth, particularly in the UK, driving foot traffic is really important. And we've been able to prove that we can drive foot traffic and we can drive, you know, new customers and interestingly, males into store as well. And we've also proven that they'll purchase when they're in store as well.
So what about the coaching online where you've got, I think, one, two, three, four, five, six or eight different programs, weight loss, healthy aging, stress resilience, and better sleep, and so on.
Yep.
Are people buying those?
They do. Yeah, absolutely.
So you get a 12-week course
program,
for about $40 or $50.
Yeah, a little bit less than that, but yeah, exactly. And it's delivered online, and we're able to support that individual, and we encourage them to use the health station at the start and the finish of the program, so therefore we can quantify.
Oh, so you're connecting them with the health station.
With the health station, right. And then we can create the behaviour change, or the individual can go off to, say, for instance, you know, one of the diabetes management programs that are delivered through Australia, which are for free, or one of the QUIT programs, which are delivered, you know, particularly throughout Victoria, which are for free. So ultimately what we're trying to do is to help people improve their health through behaviour change programs.
Yeah. Has the business and the products had to be modified, altered for the Australian market versus the UK market?
Absolutely. Yeah, they do. You know, really simple things. The blood pressure guidelines are different, you know, in the US, in Australia, and in the UK. Yeah.
Why?
So we have to make sure, just different government regulations. And it'd be quite nice if it was globally.
They run a bit hotter in the UK, do they?
A little bit.
Blood pressure, really.
A little bit. But, you know, it'd be lovely if it was aligned, but unfortunately it's not. And other things, you know, when we're pushed into Germany, of course, we have to be able to deliver the service, you know, fully customised in German as well. So, you know, we're working through those customisation aspects at the moment, and we'd love to be able to push out through, you know, additional European countries as well. But the customisation is something that we'll be working on, you know, over the next 6 to 12 months.
So it sounds like from what you're saying, that you've kind of emulated something that was going on in the US that wasn't happening in the UK and Europe. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Presumably that means that you're not really going to be able to expand into the United States.
Yeah, we can. And we've had opportunities too. At the moment, we're concentrating on the UK, Australia, and Europe, because it's just such a big market, obviously, in the US. But we think we've got enough to tackle.
What about China? Anyway. Need to go for China. Everyone's going for China. You've got to do that.
Yeah, potentially, Alan, but look, we've got plenty on our hands at the moment, so we're very happy with the way that the business is scaling and growing at the moment. So, yeah, eventually, but, you know, I think if you take on too much at once, you're not going to achieve what you need to.
Have you had to raise much cash to support the business?
A little bit, yeah. So all up, we've raised to date, you know, around about 3 million Aussie. So, you know, we've done it pretty lean. You know, we're cash flow positive.
And how much of the business have you had to give up for 3 million?
Around about 35%, something like that. So, yeah, so it's to date. But we're actually currently just in the final stages of closing a Series A. So that's quite exciting for us. So we're aiming to close that by...
How much is that for?
Between 5 and 7 million Aussie. So,
and what are you going to use that money for?
Expansion through Australia and Europe mainly. So,
So marketing?
More software, really. It's mainly, you know, developing out the software, making sure that the engagement with the users is really compelling. So, you know, what we're trying to build up is that behavioural pattern where an individual is coming in every quarter, measuring their health. We're looking after that individual. We're potentially laying over an AI model over the top. Someone else's software, we won't build that. We'll drop an AI to be able to identify an individual who is at risk and potentially try to get them into a preventative program before there's actually a concern with their health. So, yeah, and add additional tests onto the health station, things like eye tests and hearing tests. And, you know, ultimately we'd love to have non-invasive blood glucose tests on the station as well, sleep, you know, risk assessment tools. So it'll be a hub where you can go in and do all these free assessments and then just be triaged off. But also monitor and track your results over time.
So those who are listening, just finally, who would like to do this, where can they go apart from Priceline?
HCF have got around about 20 health stations throughout their retail facilities here in Australia. Or they can talk to us and they can go onto the website and just type in their postcode and we'll tell them where their nearest health station is.
Very good. Okay. I'm going to go and do it.
Excellent, Alan.
I've been talking to Dr. Noel Duncan, who is the founder and CEO of Sisu Wellness.